This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Into our second big hour of food talk, all food all the time. Well, sometimes we get sidetracked on beverage, but that's okay, right, Chef?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Chef Patrick Hall from Lakes Region Community College. He's an instructor and director of culinary programming there at Shaker Village. I still say that's got to be like the best place to work in terms of, you know, you drive up every day and probably no real heavy traffic getting into that part of Canterbury.
No, not in the back roads, you know. What you got to worry about is the bumpy roads if the roads aren't done. But now they just redid it, so now I'm good. Yeah, so.
That's awesome.
But yeah.
So he's filling in for Carol Lawrence, owner of the Red Arrow Diners, who is away until Monday. Our show brought to you by New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com, and Grasshopper's Garden Center, where the customer comes first there in New Boston. And finally, one of my favorite places, or not places, but products, and that is Healthy Solutions Spice Blends, which I have been using as rubs and things for various dishes that I've been making lately because they're good. Most of them don't have salt or sugar, and it's just easier to open the pack instead of making my own rubs. And, you know, I know that you're a food guy by nature, but, you know, if you can take a shortcut and you know that the rub is good, you probably would go for it, right?
Oh, absolutely. Montreal steak seasoning, I'm telling
you. Love Montreal steak.
Absolutely.
Whoever came up with that idea?
McCormick, I think, you know.
Yeah, there used to be a restaurant in Andover, Mass, right on 93. It's you know, gone through five regenerations since as different businesses, but it used to be the Montreal Steak House.
Yeah.
I'm talking in the 1980s.
Really?
My early years of being here, and I always like going in there, and I don't know what the connection was, probably wasn't, but is Montreal known as a big town for steak?
I really don't know, but I just, you know, like I said, I've always used that spice because it's just such a good blend. You know, you find a good blend, you want to stick to it.
Yes.
And, you know, and the biggest thing about, you know, spices and things like that, it's not that hard, but it's consistency. You find the exact, you know, thing that you want. You want to keep it that way.
Sure.
So, and that's what it all is.
Yeah, we use that a lot as well.
You know what else is good? Paul Perdone Magic Spice Seasoning. Oh yeah,
is that available in most stores?
Yeah, that he's got a really good one, and it's you know, the Cajun seasonings. Are
Cajun seasonings I've done with grilled swordfish in a cast iron skillet. I mean, oh my God!
Do a little melted butter on top.
Yeah,
do a little caper butter or something on there.
That's Chef Patrick. He knows all those good things.
That's it.
Let's talk to another one of our foodie friends, Linda Thompson Ditch, who is in Kansas. She is our official blogger from the Midwest, and it's good to get different takes and perspectives on all the things we like to eat, and I think in this case, drink today. Hi, Linda. Welcome.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Chef. It's great to talk to you guys today.
How are you? Nice to talk to you.
Well, Chef will be with us every Thursday during the month of August as Carol is taking some extra four-day weekends, so you'll be talking to Chef, and I learn a lot from him, and I learn a lot from you as well because I'm looking at your blog today. And I'm thinking, wow, she's doing adult beverages right up my alley today.
Well, I figured it's back to school time. At least here, school starts next week around here. And I know I have some of my friends that live in Florida, they've already gone back to school. And, you know, all the grown-ups, all the parents kind of look forward to that time when their life gets back to normal and they can send those kids back off to school. So I thought, well, why not do something fun for the grown-ups to celebrate back to school season. So
you're doing it out of the goodness of your heart for all the moms and dads who need just a little end-of-summer treat, huh?
Well, of course. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that I enjoy it. No, not at all.
Well, I was looking just very quickly at a couple of the beverages, and one of my favorites locally at the here we go. It's the biggest place for chicken fingers and mudslides right here in Manchester, the Puritan Backroom. Sorry about that. A brain fart just kind of took over my head for a minute. But the mudslides are so good there that I think, at least the time I went there, you can only get two. They won't let you order anymore.
Yeah, they're huge. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Have you had them, Chef?
I have. They're great.
Yeah.
And chicken fingers.
I love a good mudslide.
So you've got one today that it's well, as I was reading it, you compared it to Long Island iced tea. It's really more liquor than anything else. Not much filler, huh?
Exactly. You have to be careful with this one because it does have a lot. It has like a mudslide. It has Kahlua, has a little bit of vodka, but this one also has creme de cacao, you know, the chocolate liqueur, and also Frangelico, a little hazelnut liqueur in there. And a little cream and a little chocolate syrup, and you shake it up. And I don't blend it like a milkshake. I just put this all over ice, and I do it, well, if you have a shaker, a cocktail shaker, you can shake it up. I just pour it back and forth between two glasses until it gets mixed and frothy, and have it that way. But yeah, it's pretty potent, so you'll want to pace yourself as far as when drinking it goes. But it's actually a recipe that my ex-husband, who still lives there in New Hampshire, came up with many, many years ago. And we used to, the neighbors would come over and we'd fix up some and sit out and let the kids play in the yard and or ride their bikes on the street. And we'd just kick back and enjoy sipping them. And so, yeah, 1-2 at the most is about as far as you're going to go before you really feel the effects of this drink.
And what is this drink called again?
I call it the hard chocolate milkshake.
Okay, that.
I put cocktail on there just to make people certain that this has got liquor in it, and it's pretty strong. So,
wow. So it almost sounds like it would taste almost like a mudslide, but you added the Frangelico hazelnut element, and I don't know if I would like that. I'm not a huge hazelnut guy, but I would definitely try it if you made
hazelnut.
It. Do
you? Oh, yeah. I can imagine that drink. I'm sitting imagine that drink with like a little garnish of like a little piece of fudge hanging off the side of the side of the glass or something.
Oh, my goodness. Well, my ex used to actually garnish it with a strawberry. I don't know why.
strawberry works.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the flavors go together, but he used to garnish it with a strawberry. But no, it's killer. It's so good. And then
I was
tinkering with the recipe and messing with it, and I thought, you know, this would make a really good ice cream. But, of course, there's the problem with alcohol and freezing and ice cream. So I tinkered around a little more, and actually also on there is a hard ice cream. I came up with an ice cream using the liquors that are in the drink ice cream.
So tell us about that. Do you use a KitchenAid mixer attachment, or do you have an ice cream crank handle maker, old school?
I actually have a Cuisinart ice cream maker, and I keep the freezer part of it in my freezer to keep it nice and chilled all summer. So when I feel like making ice cream, I can just whip it out and make it up. So
those are the best ones too.
Yeah, that's the one I use, and I've done it by the crank ice cream back in the day.
That's so much work.
Growing up as a kid, with the rock salt and the ice, and you crank and crank and crank and crank. And then my parents got the electric one that was so loud, you had to put it away from everybody because the little motor on top, it was so loud you couldn't talk over it. But I remember the old crank ones back in the day.
All right, so how did you deal with the liquor aspect? Because I've only made ice cream once, and it was fantastic. I don't know why I don't do it more often. But you mentioned the liquor part of it. How did that work out in your hard ice cream?
Well, I did a little research, and I noticed that most ice creams that have alcohol in them limit it to about a fourth of a cup to the recipe, especially for the amount of milk and cream that I had in mine. It actually winds up being a little over a fourth of a cup, but somewhere between a fourth and a third. I don't think you wouldn't want to go much more than a third of a cup because then the ice cream, I don't think, would freeze much at all. It did the soft serve, and then when when it was finished churning, and then I put it in the freezer for a few hours, and it got firm. It's not as firm as the other ice creams I make, but it's still nice and firm where you can scoop it out, get a nice round ball of ice cream so it looks pretty and stuff. And it tastes so good. I put a little chocolate syrup in it, but you don't really taste the chocolate. It's a flavor. It's hard to describe. I don't know if it's it's just the cocktail flavor in the drink.
Here's what you top it with. You take some Patron XO. And you let it chill a little bit so it gets a little bit more viscous, and then I think you just sort of drizzle that over what you've made, and I think that would be your solution to the chocolate syrup conundrum.
They also make a Patron coffee one.
Yes, they do.
I was thinking chilled Kahlua, of course, and then I got when I was in Mexico in the winter, I got a vanilla liqueur that is thick, and it's a real thick vanilla beverage that they told me would be great on ice cream, and I think it would be wonderful on this one.
I was just going to mention that there's a liqueur called Rum Chata, and it's a creamed rum. And that's what it sounds like, but if you taste it just by itself, it's great. It's not high alcohol content to it, but like it's almost like you pour it over ice cream and it's delicious.
Oh, it's funny you should say that. I'm actually working on a rum shada cheesecake that I hope to have on the blog sometime.
Yes. Oh, man. Now we're talking.
Yeah,
right
now,
there.
All right. Now it took us 10 minutes to get to that. Why? What are you holding back there?
I haven't figured it out yet, but I'm thinking more in the fallish time of year. That's going to show up on the blog. So,
Did I see somebody using beer making ice cream too? I don't know how that would work.
I know I've heard of making ice cream floats with Guinness.
No, I saw a segment on that, and I forget what the company was, but they were a beer company, but they make an ice cream too. It was
Ben and Jerry's, was it? I mean, it was
no, but it was,
somebody was taking heat for it because kids like ice cream and
But it was a beer. I mean, they weren't making it out of beer,
right?
But they were making their own brand of ice cream.
Pretty recent too.
Yeah, it was pretty recent. I think you're right. I forget who it was. It was
I don't know who it was. It was a name you'd know though.
Oh, I see Mike heading into the kitchen and breaking out the ice cream maker.
By the way,
see how much beer we can get in the ice cream and it'll still freeze.
I got a note here from Bob Lippman, who is producing Food for Thought today. We were talking about Montreal Steak Spice and the Montreal Steak restaurant that used to be in Andover. He says, we should know this. We're foodies, right? Montreal, Bob says, is famous for smoked meat sandwiches.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now it comes back to me.
Mm-hmm.
But that makes sense when you rub
it
down.
But there's no smokiness, really, in the Montreal steak spice.
No, not
I
at
don't
all.
Think, but,
not at all. But it's just a good blend of rub. But mm-hmm. I could see that if you had an old brisket and you smoked it and you rub it down with that.
Yeah.
That'd be perfect because you get the salt and the peppery with it.
Yes.
You try to make some ice cream out of it.
Guys, you're making me hungry here. Chef, I'm very jealous of the job you have. I was a tour guide at the Shaker Village for a couple of years before I moved out here. Yes, and I loved every minute that I was there. I mean, just like you said, you drive up there, and there's something about working in that atmosphere that it's like nowhere else.
Yeah, it's like spiritual. I mean, how many different varietals of flowers and, all the different berries. There's mulberry trees out there. I picked gooseberries. They have like five specialty plants that they put out there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only five of them because they provide some sort of itch for some one of the trees, like the oak trees or whatever. And I was able to make jam out of it. So it's just such a beautiful area, So,
but I remember they had those huge rows of raspberry bushes.
Oh, yeah, and all over the place.
And that particular year, the restaurant, before you came along, the restaurant wasn't really using, and they weren't using raspberries, so they were telling the staff, look, if the raspberries arrive, if you want them, go get them. Oh, and I'm picking raspberries like crazy off of those dishes. They were so good.
Oh, yeah, it's great. We're connected with the Concord Co-op, and they're growing their own food. So the other day, she said, you got some cucumbers. You got some pickling cucumbers. You want them? And I'm like, I wish I could use more because we were not really open for the summer. But, you're right. It's such a unique area and unique place.
Well, you say, Chef, it's 500 acres, the property is. How much of that is tillable or farmable?
There's a good area. I mean, Funi Burdick does is she's a director, and there's local farmers that are around there. So there's cows all over the place. I went into work the other day, and I had to push a cow aside because I had to get in my door because they got out of the pen. And it was funny because they lead their year off with it's the a parade of the cows and stuff like that. So they're grazing all over. So but they got them all fenced out. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while they get out. So I'm like. I'm walking in there the other day. I'm like, well, there's like three cows in front of my door.
Did you check your shoes before you?
Oh my god! I didn't want to say that part about it, but right in my parking spot, I was like, you know what?
I tell you,
I'm so glad they're doing that because the couple of years I worked there, the restaurant was open, but when I first started writing, I've written many articles too about food tied in. To the Shaker Village for the Concord Monitor and for Around Concord magazine. And when I first started learning about the village and writing about it, the gardens were used. It was back when the creamery was open before the Shake the Table was
built. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and it was nice that they were using, you know, that they had the gardens going and you know, things were being used from the gardens and the baked goods and the things that were happening on the village. And then a couple of years I was a tour guide there, that wasn't happening so much. And I'm so glad to see it coming back. You know, these partnerships with the local, you know, with your school and the co-op is great.
Yeah, it's, you know, Funi's doing a great job, but, you know, as soon as, you know, she called us up and in partnership, because we're both about education, you know, for that whole property, it just made sense and it's clicked, you know, ever since then, you know, they've always had that restaurant, the Shaker Table there. And, you know, once it was vacant for a little while, she said, hey, you guys want to come here? And I said, well, we go take a look at the place I'm looking at. And I'm like, well, it's like a Taj Mahal compared to what I had, you know, and it's beautiful inside, all Shaker made furniture and all sorts of stuff. So it makes sense, but it's just such a unique area for like a culinary school to be sitting right there, you know, where you can walk across the street. And I had one student was with all the overgrown apple trees, and one of the students was like, hey, chef, we're out of apples, what do I do? I'm like, take this bucket, I see those trees over there, I said, start picking.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been able to do that on the campus up in wherever you are.
Yeah, we used to be in Belmont, but yeah, it is such a unique area. So that's fascinating. Sure. that you were a guide there. I didn't know that.
Funi was there when I was there too. I know her, so.
Oh, dear. Oh, good.
I did actually take a tour once, and who knows, maybe you were my guide at the time. I was just blown away at all the innovations of the Shaker culture that are still used today, and the fact that a lot of their patents they just gave away,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they gave away, but at the same time, and they've expanded too. So the museum, they keep opening more exhibits. Mm-hmm. So they just recently, I forget what the exhibit is, but they just opened a new one too. But it's there's a lot of Shaker villages, but this one is the most intact.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess whenever they all closed, people just, you know, took all their stuff. I mean, you go in one of the old kitchens, they have the rotating oven over there. Yeah. There's still
rotating oven is awesome, isn't it?
Yes.
I want one.
Oh, it's so great. And they have the canning tables, old canning tables, but they still have one of the original KitchenAid mixers that's over there.
Wow.
It's funny because it's, you know, the design hasn't changed much. It just looks like it's more, you know, a little bit more rustic. But it's just so fascinating. They're bringing back. They have bees coming back. So they're going to bring honey back over there. So they brought all the bees back over there too. All sorts of stuff.
How do they keep it funded?
Well, it's just by the people that you know that go through there. They have tour buses and tour buses that go through there from all over the world. People come all, sure. You know, not the tour buses from all over the world, but you know the people
tourists.
Come from all over, you know, the United States, and then all, you know, tourists and stuff, and primarily that. But it's a nonprofit organization.
Okay,
so
there's certain tax advantages and breaks.
Yeah, it's a historical,
you know,
site.
Paying taxes on 500 acres in Canterbury would be a killer.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's, you know, but it all goes back into that, because everybody that works is a volunteer, you know, so it all goes back into preserving the place, and it's one of the most beautiful museums I've ever seen.
Even though school is out right now, although I know probably summer session, can people still have lunch and dinner there now?
Oh yeah, so beyond our restaurant, two doors over, there's the museum store, which they sell all the original boxes, because they still make some brooms and boxes and things like that.
Those nesting boxes are really cool,
beautiful.
Yeah,
and then on the other side is a it's kind of like a local farmers market that they do, but at the same time in there it's like the little lunch box that they have, so they serve sandwiches and soups, and it's this old barn, you could sit in there, it's really, really neat.
Yes,
you know, so it's it's, so people go through there, and you know, and it's a great thing about us is that we're not a, you know, restaurant per se, so you know, we just there for the education, so we don't, you know, have to take away from what they're doing, you know?
Right.
So it makes sense.
I always used to stop in the farm stand and buy a loaf of Shaker squash bread, because that is the best toast. I love toast made with that bread. It's so good.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, that recipe is fantastic, you know. So,
well, and I actually put it on my blog. I blog about Shaker recipes. I did the grape drink a few weeks ago.
Everybody asked me for that. I looked at the recipe, and I'm like looking at it, and then, not to cut you, I'm sorry, but you add sugar to grape juice, and it's just like, it looks like it's so sweet. I've never tried it.
Oh,
you
no,
really
it's
have
really
it?
Good. It's so, the spices in it are so good that you don't notice that. And then add a little club soda to it, a little seltzer water with it, and give it some bubbles. It's great.
No kidding. I've yet to try. I've been trying to make it, but then I was just, you know, been so busy with other things too. So.
Would it be sacrilegious to add an adult libation to that to give it a whole different profile?
I don't, well, maybe to the shakers, but I mean, I'm not a shaker, so I actually, guess we can do what we want, right?
Actually, I mean, I was talking with Funi and people, that's a misconception. The shakers did drink, yeah. You know, it's, you know, it's, they're not people were kind of associated with,
but
like,
they couldn't procreate, but you could drink.
Yeah, that's it.
We have a problem. Houston, we have something. Problem.
Yeah. Right. But it's, they, I guess they used to brew their own beer and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But they, a lot of people associate them with, you know, like the Amish or, you know, something being primitive. Yeah. They're inventive. I mean, invented things like the clothespin, the washing machine,
yeah, commercial laundries.
And yeah, little packets of seeds that you see nowadays.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I forgot about that one.
Yep. And the broom, and the flat broom.
Yep, the flat broom. It used to be round before, yeah. And the flat one. Yeah,
right.
And I forget. There's so much more. Like I said, yeah. You know, like went back when the creamer was open. When you were talking about, I think Jeff Page was he was there.
Work there. Yes,
and we're doing a dinner with him. But every time I get together, I want to try to pick his brain because he's so knowledgeable about that and about the food and the shaker food.
Yeah,
and things
yeah.
Like that.
We have to end this segment now, Linda. But I'm so glad that we were able to hook up for a couple more minutes today and talk about Shaker Village, which you're very familiar. So how
it's
do we,
one of my favorite places. So
well, you've got a great blog. Tell people how to find it.
It's it's There and Back Again Food at www.thereandbackagainfood.com. And it's all, I do recipes from my days living in New Hampshire. I do recipes featuring Kansas here. I like to mix them up. So we go there and back again. So.
All right. Well, you will be back again next Thursday, right after the 1 o'clock news. Hope you have a wonderful week. Stay cool. And we'll talk next Thursday.
See you then. Have a good
one. Nice talking to you, Linda.
Bye-bye. Glad we could put you two together.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Because of her connection and, of course, your current connection.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I feel like it's such a newbie because everybody's, everybody's got something to do with the Shaker Village, and I feel like so new. So I'm like, I'm trying to absorb everything I can, you know. So
he's Chef Patrick Hall from Lakes Region Community College, but his campus or where he works and instructs the students is Shaker Village. And so that's where a lot of the conversation has been today. And how many people live within an hour's drive, have never been there. It's, you know, you really need to go.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, there's hiking trails all around there.
And the next 3 months just fabulous as the fall gets in here. And they've got all kinds of activities. It's not just, especially on the weekends.
Yeah, I think in September coming up, there's going to be an artisan festival.
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of local artists, but then also local food people, too. Like the Mushroom, New England Mushroom Company was out there one time, and it had beautiful mushrooms, just a huge display of them. And you could buy them, like, you know, like lobster mushrooms and all sorts of stuff there. So.
Very cool.
Yeah, they're very big into agriculture and the food scene. So
we're going to take a break, come back. We think we spotted a celebrity in the building here a little earlier. We'll chat. It wasn't somebody I would recognize, but Chef Patrick Hall did. We'll tell you who that was, and we never did find out for sure. But I suppose if this person is in town doing something, it'll show up somewhere, or else we're completely wrong.
We'll,
I don't know.
We'll be the first ones on it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Breaking news.
We didn't want to disturb this man during his lunch. So this is Food for Thought, 107.7 WTPL. The Pulse, we're coming back in just a couple minutes.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Hello once again, 135. 107.7 WTPL, The Pulse. It's Food for Thought. Carol Lawrence back on Monday, sitting at today's Chef Patrick Hall as my co-host. Going on right now at Heskey Park in Meredith, not quite into their 24th hour, they're probably 22 hours or so in. It's Rafting for Wishes from the Make-A-Wish Foundation of New Hampshire. They've got a giant raft and then several smaller, looks like maybe 7 or 8 around it. And there are people, some, staying on for 44 hours. So if you're up in the Lakes region, in the Meredith area, and Heskey Park, stop in. There's entertainment, fireworks tonight. Weather should be great for that. The Funky Dogs playing live. And a chance for you to not only have some fun, but make a difference in the life of a child with a life-threatening illness. That's what Make-A-Wish is all about. So check that out. And thank you, too. See, that's why we have people that are producing the show that are paying attention. Bob Lippman reminded me that yesterday, Chef, we were initially planning on trying the new Lay's, the 4 flavor finalists. Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't.
All right, so I'll explain it here in a second. And instead, we had Chef Matt Preventure from the brand new Foundry Inn,
because
they're opening next week. And
he's good.
Oh, yeah, he's good. Yeah. He brought in so much food that we just wanted to throw rocks at the potato chips and chose not to try them. So here's the deal. every year Lay's, and this is a great promotion, invites people to come up with ideas for potato chip flavorings. I mean, you know, you can get every flavor known to
like
man.
Ketchup and...
Yeah, stuff like that. So what they do is they open it up and people submit it online, and then they pick a number of them, and the Frito-Lay people actually produce the chips. Then they put them on the store shelves, the four flavors they thought were the best, and whoever sells the most or gets the most votes online, I haven't dug that deeply into it, of the new flavors, gets $1 million.
No kidding.
Yeah.
$1 million bucks.
No kidding to come up. So there are a few here. We've got four, and let's just try them between us. And in fact, I won't even tell you what the flavor is. I'll see if you can pick out what the flavor is. If you want to smell inside the bag first.
I'll smell the chip.
All right. Smell the chip. All right. Now these are the only wavy ones. The other ones are kettle chips. There are four different flavors, and this particular one was submitted by somebody named Angie Fu, Angie F U.
So it's got a little other seasoning to it, which kind of makes it a little different.
It does. I don't want you to blow your diet, chef.
No. It's got that hint, almost like truffle.
Man, you are good. You are freaking good. These are West Coast truffle fries.
Are you kidding me?
West Coast. I can't believe it. Yes. And so also some Parmesan. And I'm not sure what the other. There's an herb in there as well.
Yeah, it's kind of the herb kind of was coming through.
Yeah.
It was almost like I was going to say onion, but it wasn't as strong as onion. But
right.
But that was great.
Well, anyway, I haven't.
Fantastic.
I haven't tried one yet. I love truffle fries.
No.
You're all set?
I'll wait for the next round.
Well, you know, your palate is more discerning than mine.
Yeah, because you're almost in the back. All right.
It gets there, all right, the first bite.
It's more of an aroma thing is what
okay.
it is.
Okay.
You know, so.
All right, so at the end of these four, I want you to tell us which one you think deserves to win the $1 million. All right, so that was the truffle fries. I'm going to give you a new one. All right, this one is this is going to be tough, but you know what? You're good. So
let me.
This is entry number two. Do you want to smell the bag? You get probably a little bit more aroma.
Smells like ketchup almost, but
it's a 140 on the pulse. A little taste test of the Lay's potato.
It tastes like cheeseburger.
Well, you're sort of in the neighborhood.
Or pizza. Nope.
Are you getting that from the herbs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to turn this around because I don't think, you know, I don't know who would have ever guessed it.
Biscuits and gravy. Oh, my God.
See, when I smelled, I was getting a sage or something that, you know.
Like a sweeter smell to it,
that you would
expect,
an herb that you would find in chicken.
Yeah.
So, Haley Green created the Southern Biscuits and Gravy. I haven't tried one yet. I will
I guess
right
you
now.
Can see that. It's got that peppery flavor after, but it's almost like, you know, the salt comes through first and
mm-hmm.
Now you can do it afterwards. Wow, that's a difficult one.
It is. All right, let me put that aside.
This is fun. We should do this every day.
All right.
I start feeding me something crazy, you know, so.
All right, let's see what you think about this one. This is number three of four, one of the Lay's brand potato chip finalists available at a store near you. You smell the bag, maybe? What are you getting initially?
It almost smells like bacon.
You're actually, it is a cured meat, so I'll give you that much.
Hmm. Almost like pastrami.
Ding, 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 ding,
really?
Ding.
Really?
New York Reuben.
No kidding.
You nailed it. You nailed it. Jeff Selensky was the creator or the suggester of this recipe.
That is great.
There it is.
No kidding.
You nailed it.
It's my favorite sandwich right there.
I really love black pastrami.
Oh, that, yeah.
If you're going to do pastrami. I haven't tried one of these yet.
No, they're really good. Yeah, that's great. I mean, now, you enter this contest, anybody can enter it, and then you submit it?
Anybody can enter it. I'm not sure when it opens up for the next round, probably after the first of the year. Yeah, I'm sure the rules. I mean, if you go to Lay's, you know, find their website, they give you all the rules.
I'm definitely going to enter.
You should.
Yeah, make like a sushi one. No.
God.
Sushi potato chip, that would be.
All right, Chef, I got one more for you.
All right. No, so they had all these chips that just, you know, come just the new. You can't find these in the store.
You
right
can.
Now. Oh, you can.
You
now?
Can. The idea is to try them and to vote online as to which one is your favorite, and that person gets $1 million.
Oh, no kidding.
So, you know, that'll put your kids through college.
Absolutely.
All right. So this one, kind of like the biscuits and gravy. It's more a combination kind of thing.
It doesn't have a huge smell.
Nothing jumps out at you, huh? James Wagner was the creator of this particular. This is a little bit more on the ethnic side. A very mainstream ethnic food.
It almost has like a seafood taste to it, but it's not.
I don't think so.
It's misleading. It's almost, actually, you know what? I taste sour cream on the end of it.
Well, you know, I'm not sure what goes
guacamole?
On a, what I don't, I'm not sure what goes on a gyro or a hero sandwich.
Oh.
But you may have caught that piece of it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The gyro chips. That's what I was like saying. It was almost like sour cream. So yeah, that's a tzatziki sauce.
Okay, so
I wasn't too far.
I'm going to give you half credit for that.
All right.
All right. So I'll try one of these. Do you like gyro sandwiches?
Oh, I love them. Yeah, they're great. There's pretty much not really any food that I don't really like.
You know. Now I'm getting a little dill on this one.
Yeah, well, you know what it is, and you're not wrong, because when you make tzatziki sauce, it's cucumber. So it's like a cucumber, sauce that you put on it. I do mine with sour cream, and then you put a little chopped cucumber in there, a little salt, pepper, and lemon juice, and then you make the tzatziki sauce with that. So.
Very cool. All right, so
that is cool.
Before we go to break, let's read off the list again: the West Coast truffle fries.
Yeah.
The Southern biscuits and gravy, New York Reuben, or Greektown gyro. Those are your four choices. When we come back from the commercial break, Chef will tell us which he thinks should win the $1 million. And look for him to enter something next year.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? And my cut is only 10% for exposing you to this.
You got it. If we win, we'll rule the world.
Well, you know, thank God we have these as podcasts.
Absolutely.
On the Pulse, you can listen to it. And I'll go back and dig this out if you do win and make sure you give me my $100,000.
I'll be like, hi, how are you? I'm like, no, I forgot about that.
It's Food for Thought on the Pulse 107.7. It's 1:45. Back with the last few moments of our show after this break.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
It's 1:50, just a few moments left on today's Food for Thought. Tomorrow we're in with Comedy Cold Cuts in the 12 o'clock hour. It's all about camping, and it didn't take much effort to find some really funny camping routines from today's best stand-up comics. In the 1 o'clock hour, Larry Cultrera, who is an expert on diners in New Hampshire and Massachusetts, so we'll talk about that. Sorry that Carol's going to miss that. She's also not happy that she's missing Kevin Cornish from Casey's Rib Shack, who will be in for that. We'll tell you what celebrity we think we spotted eating at the Midtown Diner, but first I want to get Chef Patrick Hall's winner of the four Frito-Lay flavors that are in stores near you. And what you do is you try them, and obviously that sells more potato chips. But somebody who created the winning recipe for these fries wins $1 million. They are, again, West Coast truffle fries, Southern biscuit and gravy, New York Reuben, and I think I know which one you're going to pick, and the Greektown gyro. So I've got it narrowed down to two that I think you'll pick.
I bet you they're the same.
Truffle fries or the Reuben?
Yeah, truffle fries number one.
Okay.
I like it, just something about that. And then number two would be the Reuben.
Yeah.
And I would go three would be the gyro. And then you're talking about the biscuit. The biscuits and gravy were good, but it was kind of, it didn't come through.
No. The other ones at least, because I made you do blind taste tests.
Yeah.
Without any clues, and you homed in on 2.5 of them.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. So, which is pretty good, because I don't think I would have even gotten one. Maybe the Reuben. I might have gotten that. I might have gotten the cured meat part of that, which comes through pretty good.
Yeah.
And the rye. There's a little bit of a rye scent to that as well.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right, so while we were doing the first segment, the beer hour, we look up because we're down in the basement, but we have a look up to the next floor because this is an open building in the middle, and you can see all the different offices, and it's a beautiful building. Here at 814 Elm Street, the Beacon Building, and we looked up. You can see a couple tables of people having lunch every day, and you spotted who you thought was who.
I was one of the hosts from the MTV show Catfish. Okay. And not that I watch it this often, but it's, you know, I flip through it and it's like I'm always addicted to watching some of those shows that are like train wrecks.
Yes.
You know? I mean, and if for people don't know what Catfish is, it's like online, like people are dating online. They've never met this person and they'll be like dating them for a year and all of a sudden it's not the person they thought it was, because they're sending them fake pictures and all sorts of stuff. And so the whole show's built on that, and they go around and they discover, you'll find out who it really is, and they confront them, and it's all sorts of craziness.
That's a great concept for a show. I mean, you're right. Trainwreck is the only way to describe it.
It is. You know, I just can't fathom it. What the thing that makes it so crazy is that how can anybody date anybody like this? So, you know, like I said, or think they're dating. It's kind of like Manti Te'o. That's what
I was trying to think who the football player was. Yeah. That's who it was.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the guy that one of the hosts is Nev Schulman. And I couldn't think about it. I'm looking at him. I'm like, I think I've talked to that guy before. You know, it's like almost like I said, he looks so familiar. So, but he was up there and I think it was him. I showed you a picture. It looked pretty close.
No, it did. I've never seen the show. I've certainly heard of it. And we didn't want to go up and interrupt his lunch and say, if you're what's his name again?
Nev Schulman.
If you're Nev, would you come down and come on the radio with us so we can make fun of your show?
So I stand outside going, Nev, Schulman, hey, Schulman. Trying to get it, but you know, it's one of those things. Maybe it's probably a good lookalike if he's not him, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, who knows? A lot of people coming through on vacations pass through the area. He's from New York City. And I don't know where they do the show, and maybe he's got friends and he's visiting in the area right now. You know, you see celebrities where you least expect them, and as I was telling you earlier, next February, when the New Hampshire First in the Nation primary is here, Manchester and New Hampshire as well becomes the center of the news universe for about a week or two. I've covered it for the last three. And the people you see on Elm Street, you just park yourself out of here and you'll meet every major news anchor. Every major network reporter, Good Morning America, was doing their show out of a bus here either last time or maybe it was 08. And it's pretty interesting. So, I mean, I remember walking through the lobby of the center of New Hampshire, the Radisson, seeing the late Tim Russert.
Oh, yeah.
And the leading Democratic person right now, the name of who Peter St. James never speaks.
Hey, the big debate's on tonight.
Big debate is on
for
tonight.
For Republican debate.
Which should
tonight.
Be pretty interesting. I actually have an event. I'm hosting the New Hampshire Magazine's Best Dentist Awards at the Manchester Country Club. But if I can get out of there on time, I will come home and watch that, because I think it starts at 8.
The best
is
dentist.
It 8 to 10?
Yeah, 8 to 10.
Yeah, the magazine runs every year. You get to nominate who you think the best dentist is in different
categories.
Hopefully it's
not the guy with the lion there. So.
Oh, yeah. No, there'll be no lion hunting tonight at the Manchester Country Club. All right, well, Chef Patrick Hall,
thank you once again.
Fun to have you in from the Lakes Region Community College and the Culinary Department. He is the head guy there, and so we'll see you next Thursday.
Absolutely.
With your fun, your wit, your charm.
Another whole set of chips I can try? Or?
Well, I think we're done with it, because but next week it's gummy bears.
So. Oh, there we go. I'm down.
Ken Kale is next, Kale and Company. Thank you to Bob Lippman for a great job producing the show, and tomorrow we'll see you from up there, street level, Elm Street 814 in the Beacon Building. Have a great day. See you tomorrow on Food for Thought.